Half a day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Don't look on the outward, because he says, it's the nobodies I pick. I'm not looking for those that are mighty. I'm looking for somebody that says, God, everybody else might have forgot, but God, I know that you will remember.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
I'd like, if you would, to turn to 1 Samuel. The reason why God gave us the Old Testament was to illustrate what we have in the New Testament as truth. It was given to us for our admonition. Do you remember? And we talked about last week the life of David. And you will, as today, we'll look at the beginning events that led to the introduction of a man named David. I mentioned that David, the most known king of all of Israel, and David, you end up finding, is really mentioned, as I mentioned, more by name than almost any other Bible character. He's a powerful force. There's four observations I want to make, and if you have your Bibles, open to 1 Samuel chapter 9, because you end up finding the beginnings of a story that I'd like to give to you in basically four observations. The first three are really out of the narrative events that lead to David's life in the introduction in 1 Samuel 9 through 1 Samuel 16. I'm just going to touch on some highlights and some verses, so stay with me. Make some observations. I hope it'll be of a help to you today. If you're taking notes, jot down, first of all, that notice when man panics, that God will provide. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, let me fill in some history for you here. It's fascinating because you end up finding that Israel selected a king basically for his outward appearance. You end up finding three basic characters that will unfold and remain as key players in God's plot. These three are the life of Saul in the failures you will see, in the life of Samuel, who these books are named after, who's really the prophet, and then you find the son of Jesse's faithfulness. That's David. Notice, if you would, let me just introduce a few characters to you. 1 Samuel 9, verse 2, you end up finding a man named Kish, whose name was Kish. He had a son, verse 2. His name was Saul. Here you find Saul now that begins at a young age to be lifted and elevated, and now begins the process of the scattered tribes that said, we want a king. And so out of all that, God gave him a king. And this was Saul. He was the obvious choice of the people because head and shoulders above everybody else. He would have been a great basketball player. Saul begins his reign. God gives him some great victories. And God puts him in a place to test his heart. And that's where you end up finding some choices that are made. Insignificant, it seems, but became very, very important. Look, if you would, in chapter 13, we end up finding Saul now, who had been reigning for a few years. And Samuel the prophet said, now, Saul, you wait for me. I will show up. I will offer the burnt offering, the sacrifice. And notice, he got impatient. I can't wait. These people are getting restless, distressed. We're supposed to go into battle. We've got to offer this. Samuel's not here. Okay, I'll do it. And in that small, insignificant decision, Saul's failure. And a few years roll by. In chapter 14, you end up finding some prideful events. Saul had, verse 24, they were in a battle. The men of Israel were distressed that day. Saul had adjured the people and said, cursed be the man that eats any food until the evening, that he may avenge on mine enemies. He said, none of these people taste any food. You can't eat. Keep fighting. That was a very foolish statement as well, because eventually Saul's son Jonathan ends up unknowingly taking food. Saul was ready to end up killing his own son because of that event. It was all based out of pride. Then you find chapter 15. And again, I'm just water skiing over this and jet skiing over this, but I'm saying all this as preface to a story that I want you to stay with. Because here's where you end up finding that when man panics, God provides, including chapter 15. When Samuel had sold Saul, you've got to wipe out this whole people groups. You said, Pastor, what about this genocide going on in the Old Testament? All of this was a result of God's providential preparation for a nation that he promised, I'm going to provide for you. It's called today the children of Israel, or now Israel as a nation. God said, I'm going to bless this people, and the covenant I make with them, I will never break. We'll talk a little bit about that, but notice, if you would, very simply, Saul's failure was completed with his disobedience in chapter 15. We don't have time to talk about all of this, but basically Samuel said to Saul, Saul, you got to wipe out all of this people group, the Amalekites. There's a good reason for all of that. So he, rather than doing all of it, he saves back the best of the sheep, and he's going to end up having good reasons to do this. Samuel shows back up. Listen, very simply, Samuel confronts Saul, and the result of it is Saul ends up giving four reasons why he had, or really covering of his own guilt. By the way, parents, anytime you end up finding your children doing just what Saul did, we don't have time to look at it, but in verse 13, he lied. Verse 15, he blamed other people, the people. Verse 20, he defended himself. And eventually in verse 24, he kind of gave a false confession, kind of, okay, then you caught me, I got to tell you. By the way, anytime you want to know whether your child's guilty, always realize anytime they're lying, they're blaming, they're defending, or they're just saying because now they're caught, there's not genuine repentance. That's what you end up finding with Saul. Now you say, Pastor, why are you going through all this? Because over the next days to come, we're going to end up contrasting two leaders. One, insecure, good-looking, and in many times, very foolish. And then a young boy that shows up on the scene. Because somewhere during this time period, when Saul starts getting elevated, a mother, her eighth child, now sitting on her lap, is this little baby born in Bethlehem. And over the next 15 to 16 years, as these events we just went over, you end up finding David now coming into his own. Really, in some ancient Jewish tradition writing that I mentioned, nothing is said in Scripture about his own mother. But you end up finding his own father, Jesse, now, who ends up not realizing that David, his eighth child, is somebody. He was a nobody that nobody noticed. Who cares about Jesse? Who cares about a son that actually ends up getting put on the shepherd's field? Really, the lowest menial task at that point that could have been had. What unfolds for it is you realize that, first of all, as I mentioned, when man begins to panic, God provides, and that's where you end up finding. Out of this point, verse 28, chapter 15, Samuel said to him, Saul, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from you this day and is given to a neighbor of yours that is better than you. Who is that? It starts again, the curtain pulled back even more about the life of David. But before I move on, chapter 16, you end up finding not just Saul's failure, but you end up finding Samuel's fear. You find it here in verse 2 when God told Samuel, Samuel, I'm going to end up having you go. I've got somebody else. I'm going to send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. Verse 2, and Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he's still the king. He's still in charge. He's going to kill me. By the way, even godly people can get fearful. Samuel ends up getting very fearful. And even though he was God's man, he still struggled with future fear, trembling in his sandals and be crossing the king, but he obeyed. And now you end up finding the son of Jesse's faithfulness, the man after God's own heart. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Samuel, don't look on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord sees not as man seeth. If you underline your Bible, underline this one. For man looks not on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Cross-reference 2 Chronicles 16:9. Because here you end up finding that David now enters onto the stage. And as F.B. Meyer describes the day this way, quote, it began like any ordinary day. No angel trumpet heralded it. No faces looked out of heaven. The sun arose that morning according to his word over the purple walls of the hills of Moab, making the cloud curtains saffron and gold. And with the first glimmer of light, that boy was on his way to lead his flock to pasture lands heavy with dew. And as the morning hours sped onward, many duties would engross his watchful soul, strengthening the weak, healing that which was sick, binding up that which was hurt, and binding up that which was broken, seeking that which was lost. Or the music of a song may have filled the listening air. And then his world would change forever, and David now grew big. Because you end up finding the simple principle, number one, when man panics, God will provide. Number two, you'll end up finding as well that you've got to be patient in that. But number two, when man forgets, God will remember. And the point is, you've got to be aware. Because when man does forget, God's going to remember. That's what you end up finding when Samuel obeys the Lord. He arrives in Bethlehem, creates this huge stir. And basically, since David was the only person in Scripture whose epitaph reads, a man after God's own heart, you think he's a superman. But the fact is, he's not. He doesn't have the Atlas physique or the Einstein intellect, as Paul told the believers at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1, when he said, don't look on the outward, because he says it's the base things, the despised things, those which are not. What he's saying is, it's the nobodies I pick. I'm not looking for those that are mighty. I'm looking for somebody that says, God, everybody else might have forgot, but God, I know that you will remember. That's where you end up finding that Jesse, David's own father, as you read the story, you end up finding that verse 8, Jesse had called Abinadab, and then he had called Shammah, and then Jesse, verse 10, had made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And verse 11, and Samuel said, are these all your children? Then he said, no, I've got a younger son. He said, go get him. And in verse 12, he gives a small description of who David was that we'll look at. In verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of the brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose and went to Ramah. And here you find that when man forgets, who's David? But that anointing of David is who God said, I'm going to remember. Observation number 3, when man searches, God will reveal. Don't just be patient and be aware, but be usable, because this is where you find that in man searching for someone to meet the needs, God does reveal his man. Notice verse 14, and when the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, an evil spirit of the Lord troubled him. So Saul's servant said to him, behold now, as an evil spirit from God troubles you, let our Lord now command your servants. Let's find somebody. He gives them descriptions of who it is, and this is who you end up finding, that Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man that can play well. So verse 18, David now is described again. In verse 19, Saul sent his messengers to Jesse, said, please get David your son. He comes well documented of who he is. And verse 21, David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. He became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, said, let David, I pray thee, stand before me. And here you find where David now, who was a nobody, gets elevated in his faithfulness of what he was supposed to do, that on those small choices, God began to elevate him and now put him into the palace.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.